Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live by our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Five straight games at home for the Winnipeg Jets. Five straight losses at home for the Winnipeg Jets, capping off a disaster of a homestand with a 3-1 defeat tonight at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, pleased to be joined by Mr. Ezra Ginsberg. The man is desperate to shave, and they just won't let him do so. And joining us from the arena where he witnessed tonight's game live and in person, Dave Manouks, donning the Illegal Curve mask to be sure to be COVID careful. Gentlemen, good to see you on this Wednesday evening. As I mentioned, the disaster of a road trip, disaster of a homestand, mercifully comes to an end for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, like it really does, right? Like it really is mercy at this point. And obviously, you know, guys, a much better effort than Monday night, but, you know, that's not that hard to do when you lose 6-1. And, the Jets are pressing with Connor Hellebuyck off there. And you kind of thought when Kaylor Yamamoto took that penalty, unfortunately, when he came out of the penalty box, he had a breakaway and almost scored. But you thought, you know, the Jets waited so long to have that one power play, right? It's so rare where you go an entire game with no power plays. And they just, you know, they obviously couldn't beat Mikko Koskinen. And I thought they had some good chances, Dave, like Paul Stastny had a good chance. But, you know, overall in this game, like you just continue to see a Jets team that is not finishing and not producing. And, you know, obviously, you know, the Jets pick up the one goal, but six goals in five games at home. And, you know, I put this together before the game hoping, that it wasn't going to apply as much, but going into this game, Kyle Connor, one goal in his last four games. Blake Wheeler scores tonight. That was his first goal in a month. He had no goals in his last eight games going into this game. Andrew Kopp heading into this game, one goal in his last seven games. Mason Appleton now has no goals in his last 14 games. So you guys see where I'm going with this here. I mean, this Jets team is struggling to score goals. And, you know, I realize that there are some other issues with this team as well. But I mean, come on, guys, like at a certain point, something's got to give here. It's not just one or two players. I actually thought Scheifele, Kopp and Appleton was fantastic tonight, even though they didn't show up on the score sheet. But like, this is just the story for me here of this homestand. They just didn't get the production.
No question they didn't get the production. And the third period I thought was the best period the Jets played on the entire homestand, in that they were active, they were aggressive on the forecheck while also still being, for the most part, responsible defensively. But, you know, tiddlywinks, it doesn't count in hockey unless you put the puck in the net, and they were pressing and everything else. But, you know what, to your point, Ezzy, not enough goals, not enough offense, not enough 60 minutes of getting into dangerous positions against the Oilers and Mikko Koskinen. You can't just do it for 20 minutes and expect success. It was better than Monday, only because it really can't be worse than Monday, but the goal scoring simply just was not there for the Winnipeg Jets on this entire homestand. And the Jets better hope that it's the dry spell and the famine, as our buddy Scott Billick referred to it on Twitter momentarily ago, that the goal scoring famine ends quickly, because otherwise it's going to be a long remainder of the regular season and a very short run in the playoffs, Mr. Manouk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess the positive would be that you didn't give up any 5-on-5 goals. That's probably a good thing. You're probably able to hang your hat on that. And, you know, there were some guys who put on some pretty good performances. I thought Jansen Harkins, you know, showed his usual level of energy whenever he got that opportunity. Same with, I thought Matthew Perreault was, you know, I mean, there's one shift here in the third where he did whatever he could to get that puck. And he worked so hard to try and generate chances for this Jets team. I mean, again, it doesn't always work, but, and I thought you were seeing from a lot of guys, and Ezzy's right, there's good performances. Andrew Kopp took advantage of a Dmitry Kulikov mistake to set up the only goal for the Winnipeg Jets. But, you know, I think, Drew, I think you tweeted it out earlier. I mean, there weren't a tremendous amount of high danger chances for the Jets. You know, I mean, they did get some in the third period, I think, but for the most part, it was a pretty quiet game in that regard. And I thought a lot of that stuff was from the outside. A lot of it wasn't, you know, they weren't taking away the eyes, you know, on that I don't remember which goal it was. I'm trying to think of which. I think it was the first power play goal where Connor Hellebuyck was completely screened by Alex Chiasson. And so you're just sitting there going, and he was left alone in front of the net by himself. Like he was just, it was crazy. I'm watching this play. I'm thinking to myself, Hellebuyck can't see it. And again, of course, you know, that's live when I'm watching it. And then when it's confirmed when I watch the replay. So I think that, you know, the penalty kill, of course, which has been decent, but that's kind of a killer against the Oilers. And Connor McDavid, what can you say about this guy? 22 points in 9 games against the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, he might hit 100 points in a season just to playing the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, he's chagrined that he doesn't get to come back to Winnipeg or play Winnipeg and Edmonton again this season, in the regular season at least, because he's just feasted on the Winnipeg Jets all year long. And I actually thought they did a pretty good job in neutralizing him. I think that's what we were expecting from this Jets team. We were expecting a much tighter game, and that meant they weren't going to be trading chances. And so you had to take advantage of your opportunities. And you know, Koskinen was good. And look, the game could have looked very differently if Paul Stastny is able to convert that early chance on the takeaway by Blake Wheeler in the first period. And you know, of course, Koskinen makes a save. And then you go from there. And so, again, like I said, I expected it to be a tighter game. I think for the most part, it was a pretty good game in that regard. You didn't give up a ton of rush chances. So that's probably a good thing for this Jets team, because you did need to tighten it up. But again, like I said, as he's right, I mean, the offense isn't there. Kyle Connor looks a bit lost right now. I'm not sure that he just doesn't seem to have it. So that's a player who I am looking towards, because you have a big contract and you're a guy who's going to be relied on to produce for this Jets team. And right now you're not doing it.
Yeah. And I was going to mention, Drew, one of the other, I was a little excited there, guys, when I was checking my notes app on my phone. Pierre-Luc Dubois now has no goals in his last 10 games. Paul Stastny has no goals left. No goals in his last 8 games. So like you can go, I listed, what is it? 7, 8 players here.
Yeah.
And you know, so when you have this many players that are struggling offensively, it's a big problem. And I agree with Dave, like the Jets were, there's no doubt they were better defensively, right? Like they managed the puck better. They didn't give up as many odd man rushes. There were a few breakaways, and for the most part, you know, they stayed out of the penalty box, right? Cause that's been a problem on this homestand. The Jets have been, you know, taking uncharacteristic penalties. And obviously, you know, Blake Wheeler, like you can't do that. You can't put your team down, 4 minutes with a high stick that's in the offensive zone and has nothing to do with the play, right? And, you know, the trip, I realized, you know, on the broadcast, you know, it might have been a call that you maybe don't make, but, you know, it was a trip. And like you said, Dave, like the Oilers do all of their damage on the power play, so it was a much better effort. But at this point, guys, when you've lost 4 games in a row and now 5 games in a row, I mean, you're not, there's no time for moral victories here. Like the Oilers owned you in the 9 games. They won 7 of 9 games, and some of these games were not even close. Obviously, tonight's game, you know, was a 1-goal game for the majority of the game. But, you know, I think there's a lot that you can like about this game. But overall, you have to think that, you know, going on the road is going to help this Jets team, right? Like getting away from home, they're going to play, you know, 3 different teams on a short road trip, starting off with Montreal, who they've had some success against this year. And then you're going to play Ottawa and Calgary, all teams that you should beat. Obviously, Montreal's the best of the 3 teams, but like there's still, I think there has to be a lot of concerns here. And I agree with Dave, like Dubois, Vesalainen and Perreault, I think there's a lot to like there. You know, they didn't get on the score sheet, but you know, Vesalainen, I really liked his effort and you know, his what he was doing on the forecheck, throwing his body around a little bit. I thought Dubois had a good game, but again, we're talking about another loss here, guys. And you know, I don't know how many positives you can take from a loss.
You're right. I mean, and that's sort of where we're at with the Jets right at this point in the season, is you're looking for moral victories, or the team itself is looking for moral victories. And I mean, I'm sort of monitoring on the right side of my screen here some of the post-game availability from Blake Wheeler, who's speaking with the media right now. And he's talking about how tonight was a step in the right direction, but they're still frustrated. Right now, they're fighting the puck. You can see it. Nothing is going their way. So this is a team, the Winnipeg Jets, that have less than no confidence at the moment. And you could, but I think the silver lining is that it was better than Monday, and there was a lot of probably positive things that they can watch on film or on video after this game when they head out on the road that Paul Maurice can pinpoint to some positives, where after Monday's game, he wasn't going to be able to do that at all, Monday being such an epic disaster. If Monday was rock bottom, today was better. Now you need to follow up that performance today with an even better performance on the road on Friday. And of course, we know the Jets have been the best road team in the NHL all season. So I think they're all going to be they're all going to be very happy to leave their families, get out on the plane tomorrow, and just maybe get away from the suffocating pressure that they're currently feeling given the disaster of the homestand.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, you guys aren't focused on what's really happening. This is just classic rope-a-dope. The Jets really, the Jets just wanted to go, 2-7 or whatever they were against the Oilers this during the regular season, just so the Oilers would think they had their number. But no, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think you're right, Drew. I think there are some more positives that you can look towards. You really did try and limit a lot of the chances, and as a result, you didn't trade them. But I mean, against a team like the Oilers, you have a lot of weapons, and, you know, and by the way, specifically Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, you didn't really trade chances. Now, I mean, will we see some change up in the lineup? Will we see, you know, we were hearing about this rotation, and I'm not blaming Jordy Benn. I mean, he was fine. But will we see Ville Heinola? The Jets made, you know, 5 recalls up to the taxi squad ahead of the trip out east. The weirdest road trip in the history of the
out east and out west.
Out east and out west. So they'll probably, you know, they'll fly over Winnipeg, but they won't stop in Winnipeg.
I would say it's a weird road trip, Dave, but this entire year has been weird, so yes, I don't think that applies anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, like, but the point is that they brought up a number of guys. So the truth is that you could see Ville Heinola as soon as Friday night in Montreal. I mean, I would think it'd be a good idea. He played for the Moose. He's looked good. And why not give him an opportunity? I mean, the point is, you know what you've got. And I mean, I feel like a bit of a broken record because we've been saying this for how long now?
Entire season.
No, not necessarily. But I mean, like, for example, even a guy like Derek Forbert. I mean, I'm not trying to harp on him. But the point is that, you know, I think he's better suited to being a third pairing guy. But even if you want to leave him in the second pairing, I mean, again, get Ville Heinola in there. Let's see what you got for a couple games. And then you can go from there. Because to me, it just doesn't make sense what you're doing here. Or get Logan Stanley back in lineup. But you have the opportunity to play with your lineup a little bit. These games really don't matter, because you're not going to lose the next 7 games. You're going to probably go 2-3 on the road, is my guess. Or maybe you can win all 3. Like Ezzie says, it's not outside the realm of possibility. Montreal isn't exactly playing inspired hockey. Ottawa's actually been playing all right, and Calgary is whatever. So to me, again, like I said, I would be inclined to give those young guys a shot. You know, you got David Gustafson. He was playing well for the Manitoba Moose. Give him a shot. I mean, let me tell you, you want to see a guy who's going to work his ass off every shift? David Gustafson is going to work his ass off every shift. So if you want to get a guy, and again, like I said, what you get from Trevor Lewis, what you get from Nate Thompson, I'm not saying you don't get a good effort. Of course you do. But the point is that you're going to get that similar effort from a guy like David Gustafson. So he's been looking good for the Manitoba Moose. I don't know. Like, to me, it would be an opportunity to get these guys in when games, you know, really don't, quote, matter. And you can give yourself a little bit of a look at what you've got.
You got 7 games left in the regular season, so you're absolutely right. This is the time, and I know we do sound like a broken record, and it's because it's true. You know, look, you know, you need to do something to give Derek Forbort at least a couple games off. And if that means you put Ville Heinola in and you can use Jordy Benn on either side, maybe you give Tucker Poolman a couple games off. You just give them the opportunity to have a bit of a break, have a rest. There's no reason to continue to grind them into the ground, because these games, I mean, you're either going to finish second or third. It's fairly evident. Right now, Edmonton is playing at such a higher level than you are. You're more likely to finish at third. So use the taxi squad players. Let them take a break. Let people take a breath and maybe just, you know, recalibrate themselves for what will undoubtedly be a busy playoff stretch. It just doesn't make any sense to me to not allow your players that opportunity right now. You've done so much good work leading up to this point of this homestand that you can now reward some players and let them have that necessary break, let them have that necessary rest. Maybe they find their games a little bit.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing quickly, for folks who are asking about Cole Perfetti, he wasn't part of the recall. And the reality is, well, the Jets could still make a move tomorrow. They're going on the road, and the Moose are still here. So the likelihood is you're not seeing Cole Perfetti on this road trip. There's always a possibility. I was thinking about this. I was contemplating how this would look because the Moose, after tomorrow, their 17-game homestand is done in Winnipeg, and then they'll head out to Toronto and Ottawa for the last few games on the road. Cole Perfetti, in theory, if the Jets wanted to, when they come home to play, who do the Jets play at home? Do they play Ottawa next?
They play Vancouver twice, Ottawa, and then they finish the season with Toronto.
So in theory, before the Moose were to leave, I think on May 5th or 6th, the Jets could, in theory, even though they may not be back yet, they could recall him. But I'm just saying, like, for folks who are saying Perfetti on the road, you're not going to see him on the road unless they make a move tomorrow, which, again, it's possible, but doesn't seem likely given what happened today.
Look, if you're going to see Cole Perfetti this year, it's probably going to be on that final the final game of the regular season, that Friday, May 14th game against the Leafs, a game that likely is not going to mean anything standings-wise. And if it doesn't, then you're going to see a lot of guys take the veterans' prerogative and get that game off. And then you might see a guy like Cole Perfetti as a reward for having such a tremendous season at the AHL level. That might be the game where you would see Perfetti. But you're not going to see him on this road trip.
No.
And I'd be surprised if you saw him at all before that last regular season game on the 14th, Ezzy.
Yeah,
but you know what, guys? With the way this homestand has gone, I think it has changed a little bit in the sense that this team is really struggling to score goals. And not only that, you have Nick Ehlers that's going to be out for the remainder of the regular season. You have Adam Lowry that's going to be out for the remainder of the regular season. So it kind of crosses your mind a little bit more. And again, I agree with Dave. I mean, I don't think there's a very low chance that Perfetti plays on the road trip, but I think it creeps into your mind a little bit more because of the circumstances, not because they need to win these games to get into the playoffs, but because you're thinking maybe he can inject some life into this lineup. And not only that, inject some goals into this lineup, because Dave knows this better than anybody. He's been watching Perfetti all year long at the Iceplex. Like, he is tearing it up. He's second on the team in scoring. He's doing really well. And, you know, at the beginning of this season, back in January, you know, you still thought there was a chance that he would be playing in the Ontario Hockey League, and he's excelling at the American Hockey League level. So I think it's kind of interesting, you know, how this has developed. Again, I'm not going to give anybody false hope that Perfetti is going to play in two or three regular season games here for the Jets, and then, you know, he's going to end up playing in the playoffs. But you wonder, you know, if the plan for Perfetti has changed a little bit, and, you know, there is a chance that he's used maybe a little bit more towards the end of the regular season and in the playoffs. Just saying, something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice to see everybody in the chat. Good evening to everybody. 5 minutes before 11 o'clock on Wednesday night, you're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, I'm in my basement. Ezra Ginsberg, he's in his basement. Dave Minuk is at the arena where the Winnipeg Jets dropped a 3-1 defeat to the Edmonton Oilers earlier tonight. Nice to see so many new faces, so many familiar faces in the chat. If you're just coming to join us, be sure to give us a thumbs up, smash the like button, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We go live each and every night after a Winnipeg Jets game, and of course, Saturday morning, the weekly Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Let's talk about Blake Wheeler's game tonight. So he gets the goal, and it's a 5-on-5 goal, and that's rare for Blake Wheeler this year. So that's the good news. The bad news is the fact that he was in the penalty box for the Oilers' two goals that, you know, and forgetting about the empty net goal, he was in the penalty box while the Oilers scored both of their game-winning, the opening goal and then the game-winning goal. You know, sort of a tale of two games for Wheeler. Obviously, his, you know, double minor was a huge turning point in this game, or a huge moment in this game, completely unintentional, but that being said, unintentional, still bad, still cost the Jets a goal. You know, it was sort of a story of some good and some bad from Blake Wheeler tonight.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I thought overall his game was pretty good. Like, I don't think, you know, he was one of the top Jets. And I thought, you know, towards as that game kind of progressed, his game fell off a little bit. And you're right, Drew. I mean, you can't ignore the penalties, considering that the Oilers capitalized on both of them, or I guess technically two of three of them. But, you know, it was a bit of a surprise, right, to see Stastny between them. You expected it to be Dubois, and you wonder if that'll continue in Montreal. But, you know, for the most part, I thought, you know, they had some chances and they created some offense, and, you know, he was out there on the power play, and, you know, him and Scheifele were looking for each other, you know, he was out there, you know, with the extra attacker as they were trying to tie the game up. So, you know, I thought the effort level was good. And, you know, he obviously, you know, picks up the first goal that he scored in a month. But yeah, those penalties are definitely going to stand out. And, you know, it's really tough, guys, to really, you know, wrap your head around, you know, this homestand, right? Like, I don't think anybody saw this coming. And obviously, you know, for Wheeler, the captain of this team, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what he says after this game, because you know that he is going to take this one personally. He didn't like being in the penalty box for those two goals. You know it. So I would expect, you know, a pretty big response from him. But again, I think the only positives, and not the only positives, because I see some people in the chat that were, you know, going at me a little bit about my comment from you can't take too many positives.
That was me. Sorry. I, you know, it's force of habit. I got to go after you.
No, but I mean, like, the way I look at it, yes, Drew, you made the point earlier, right? When you lose 6-1 in that fashion, mm-hmm. I mean, you can only go uphill, right? So obviously, you know, Paul Maurice, the coaching staff, the team's going to go over tonight's game and they're going to say, yeah, we were much better than we were a couple of nights ago. We were right in this game and could have easily tied it up in the third period. But at the end of the day, you didn't. And, you know, you lost for the seventh time to the Oilers. And so it was important to win this game. And yes, hockey, sometimes you don't get the breaks. And, you know, Koskinen, you have to give him credit. He was pretty good. Didn't have to be fantastic. But overall, he was really solid. But I think, you know, they're going to have to get out of this one. Like, this is one where, yes, we know that they want to snap the losing streak. But, you know, they're going to have to put together, you know, three or four good games here at least. This road trip is, I think, just my own opinion, I think it's taken on much more importance with the way this homestand has gone than maybe you thought it was going to be at the beginning of the homestand.
No question about it. I'm thinking right now that Friday's game against Montreal is certainly, it could very well be a barometer for how the rest of the season is going to go. You know, you were better tonight than you were Monday. You need to go into Montreal and you need to have a complete 60-minute effort that results in a win. I mean, you can't go into Montreal and continue with what we've seen, because if you go into Montreal and you lose, then when does the tailspin end? The Ottawa Senators, while their record isn't any good, they're a hard-working team that you have to bring the effort against each and every night.
They just beat Vancouver twice, Drew.
Sure, they beat Vancouver twice. I mean, Ottawa is not the same Ottawa team that we saw at the beginning of the year. Ottawa is a team that is certainly on the rise. The Jets have to go into Montreal on Friday, and they have to have one of their most complete efforts of the season, I believe, just because the release of the pressure in that room, if that occurs, will be so significant for them, just to be able to breathe again without having the weight of the world on their shoulders. That's why you need to go into Montreal. It's a place you've had success this year. It's a place where, I mean, remember, it wasn't that, was it 3 weeks ago where they had the dominant effort on Hockey Night in Canada on a Saturday night, the first time a Winnipeg Jets team has ever posted a shutout in Montreal, a stat that is still amazing to me, you know, to this day. You need an effort like that. You need a full 60-minute effort. The Montreal Canadiens certainly aren't a team that you should be scared of by any stretch. Look at what's happening in Montreal. They're very much a disaster. They lose Jonathan Drouin indefinitely. He's going to take care of some personal issues, and we wish him nothing but the best in making sure that he's healthy, you know, physically, mentally, whatever's going on with him. We wish him nothing but the best. But if you're the Jets, you know, you're a wounded animal. You're playing against the Montreal Canadiens team that is almost just wounded, and you need to go be that, you know, rabid animal on Friday night and get a good result that will help you for the final six games of the regular season at that point.
Let me tell you something. If I'm Nikolaj Ehlers agent, I should be walking back into Kevin Cheveldayoff's office and say, we may need to renegotiate my client's contract because he is way underpaid. Let me tell you something. That guy, I mean, guys, he's the best winger on this Winnipeg Jets team. I don't even think it's close. I mean, sure, Kyle Connor's a very good goal scorer, but he's not Nikolaj Ehlers. And so we can pretend all day long that the Jets aren't missing their most dynamic player on the ice. But Nikolai Ehlers is the Jets' best player. I mean, I really don't think it's, I mean, it's not even that close. I really don't think so. I mean, Mark Scheifele's a good, talented player too. But I mean, honestly, I just don't know that you just start to realize the value of Nikolai Ehlers. I'm sorry. Like when Nikolai Ehlers, like, you know, isn't in the game, what a difference it makes for this Winnipeg Jets club. And, you know, obviously, and you can't minimize Adam Lowry's loss either. I mean, he's an important role, plays that important third line checking role. And, you know, folks can be like, oh, you know, you can replace that. Well, it's not that easy to replace. I mean, he's developed a significant role on this team. He's a fairly trusted guy on this team. So as a result, you know, again, like I said, and I'm not making excuses, but it's also I'm not ignoring facts. I mean, that's one thing people have to appreciate. You know, this is when you're missing one of your most dynamic, take Connor McDavid off this Oilers team. And I'm not saying, for the record, I'm not saying Nikolai Ehlers is Connor McDavid, but take Connor McDavid off the Oilers. And yeah, that's a different team. Hey, there's Shawnee Reynolds. That's Sean Reynolds from Kenny from and Rennie. Kenny.
Is that Rennie himself?
Let's look at Shawnee in here. Sean can pop in
over there.
Yeah,
we have room.
After I see what you guys don't know is that when Sean and Ken were doing their show with Scott Billick, who was downstairs, I may have done a little bit of a cat calling of Scott, which interrupted the flow of his thought process and threw off their show. So now Shawnee's giving it back.
Sean's looking sharp too. Very well dressed. Yeah.
Always looking dapper. That Sean Reynolds. Anyways,
you know what, to your point, Dave, about Nikolai. So you know what Nikolai Ehlers is at times for the Jets. You know how in baseball, if you're in a losing streak and you have an ace, you know, an ace pitcher who can go out there, you know, every five games, you know, how pitchers work for baseball.
Kurt Schilling.
And he can go out and he can throw you eight innings. And
please acknowledge my Kurt Schilling reference.
Yeah, okay, I acknowledge your Kurt Schilling reference. But he goes out, the ace pitcher goes out and gives you eight innings, and he just sort of takes the team on his shoulders.
Yeah,
that's at times what Nikolai Ehlers can do for the Jets, because time and time again tonight, the Jets, especially in the first two periods, had trouble getting the puck out of their zone. The only play that was available was the flip up in the air and out of the zone, where it basically just comes right back into their zone. Nikolai Ehlers, by virtue of being that one-man zone entry and so dynamic, the most dynamic Jets player with the puck on his stick and the rush ability that he has, is that ace for the Winnipeg Jets. He's a guy who can single-handedly remove the pressure from a situation and allow the Jets to play a few shifts in the offensive zone. That is certainly what they're missing without him being in the lineup. I mean, it got better in the third period, admittedly, but the first two periods, again, like we talked about on Monday, the Jets just so much difficulty getting any clean breakouts. The Oilers did a great job having their defense pinch down the boards at the offensive blue line to prevent the Jets from receiving a breakout pass and then transitioning it up the ice. You know, Nikolai Ehlers, by virtue of being able to skate the puck out of his own zone, just is another one. It just can relieve the pressure better than anybody else on this Jets team.
Ehlers was in the first two games of this homestand, guys. Like, it's not like Ehlers has been out of the lineup for 2 months here.
True. That's a good point.
Right? Like, I agree with you, Drew. Like, Ehlers, I think we've been saying this probably, you know, more than maybe some people, that Ehlers doesn't get the respect that he deserves. And especially, Drew, when you're going up against, like, how many guys can match Connor McDavid's speed? Ehlers is one guy that immediately comes to mind. And that's why, you know, we talked about this, not on this homestand, but the last time the Jets played the Oilers, whatever that was, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, it's impossible to really, time as a construct. So we really don't have any idea what's going on right now. That's why we thought Dubois, Ehlers, Connor, that line would be much better against the McDavid line, right? As opposed to, you know, Scheifele, Appleton, Kopp going up against the McDavid line, right? It just makes more sense because you've got, you know, Dubois' size, physicality, two-way ability. Same thing, you know, Ehlers has got the two-way ability, but the obvious one is the speed and the dynamic offense, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I would certainly, I mean, obviously, you know, last change will come into effect in Edmonton, so that you won't always get the matchup. But Dave, I would think that Paul Maurice, in an ideal situation, wants to get, let's say that the line is Dubois, Connor, and Ehlers, or whoever is on Ehlers' line, you know, even if Ehlers is with Scheifele. But I would assume that there's a good chance they're going to try to have Dubois back with Ehlers. I would assume Paul Maurice and the coaching staff wants to get that line up against the Connor McDavid line as opposed to the Scheifele line. And then obviously, you know, you have to decide, you know, who would you prefer Lowry's line to go up with, That would, the logical line would be the Draisaitl line if McDavid and Draisaitl are split up 1-2 down the middle, right? So, yeah, I mean, right now it's tough for the Jets with struggling to score goals without Ehlers, guys. But, I mean, you can never blame your lack of success on not having one player in the lineup, right? Like, is Montreal gonna blame everything on not having Brendan Gallagher in the lineup? Are the Leafs gonna, you know, blame some of their performances because Zach Hyman is not in the lineup? No, they won again tonight, right? So you can never just pick on one player. I agree that, you know, he's super important to this team, but, you know, they have to find a way collectively to get out of this.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, you talk about the forward groups today, and you know, you said at the beginning of the post game, Ezzy, that, you know, the Scheifele line was the Jets' best forward line, and I agree, and the numbers bear that out. Appleton, Scheifele, Kopp, you know, 60% Corsi 4. I mean, the Connor, Stastny, and Wheeler line is at 5-on-5 tonight was just ugly. I mean, they had a 20% Corsi 4 rating, which is really just remarkably poor, I should say. So, and I liked, you know, and I liked what Dubois did with Vesalainen and Perreault. Again, I thought, yep, Dubois was one of the Jets' better players, you know, in the last few games. Again, that's a little damning with faint praise because they weren't very good at all. But again, Dubois was noticeable. Again, Dubois threw the body around a little bit. If this is the Pierre-Luc Dubois that the Jets, this is the, you know, a closer version of the Pierre-Luc Dubois that the Jets traded for earlier in the season. But, you know, the way it was, you know, that Connor, Stastny, Wheeler line just absolutely got dominated at 5-on-5 tonight. And that's certainly a problem because Kyle Connor, that's another one of the players who's certainly, I think, right now very low in the confidence bank. His confidence meter is on empty. You know, it wasn't very good on Monday night, the terrible giveaway that led to the Connor McDavid breakaway goal. And he wasn't very noticeable tonight. This is certainly a dry spell for Kyle Connor. And, you know, like you've said at the beginning, Ezzy, like you articulated earlier, so many of the Jets forwards right now are just struggling psychologically, struggling confidence-wise, struggling to put the puck in the net for sure. And you could probably think that all three of those go together.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I want to get Dave in here too, but, you know, you think of these forward lines and how the Jets are doing without Ehlers and Lowry in the lineup, and we talked about it. I mean, there's no doubt that they miss them, but you know, and I realize there's a lot of talk in the chat about, you know, the defense and having trouble moving the puck. And that's why, I mean, unless, and I wouldn't be surprised, Dave, if Logan Stanley comes in on Friday either, right? Because we expect that just based on, you know, we talked about that kind of rotation. I actually thought Logan Stanley was going to play tonight. I was a little bit surprised. I don't know about you guys, because I thought Stanley was really good in his last game. So we'll see what happens. But unless you're putting Ville Heinola on defense, I mean, the Jets don't have that many more natural, like, that's the one guy that can make your defense more active, have more of a puck moving decor, right? Like, that's the one guy. So unless you don't put him in, I mean, this is what the Jets have, right? Like, there's no Jay Bomeister on the back end. There's no Scott Niedermeyer on the back end for the Jets, right?
Like, settle for Rob Niedermeyer on the back end right now.
Exactly. It's funny, Drew, but, you know, so, like, aside from us, you know, continuing to beat that drum, you know, we'll see if Ville Heinola gets into the lineup here, but that seems to be the obvious one. And obviously, you know, Drew likes to use the word panacea. It's not going to be the panacea, but it's the one guy that I think if you injected him in, inserted him into this lineup, he could probably do the most damage and change the outlook of this team the most.
Look, you're struggling, at least in these last couple games against the Oilers, you're struggling, you know, as much, if not the most, in getting the puck out of your own zone. Well, what should Ville Heinola be better at is doing exactly that. I don't expect that they're going to have that same problem against the Montreal Canadiens on Friday. The Habs play a different style, and they just frankly don't have the top-end talent. They don't have Draisaitl, and they don't have McDavid. Nobody has Draisaitl and McDavid. But, you know, that's the beauty of when you have defensemen who can skate the puck out. That's the beauty. That's how you get the opposing team a little bit more on their heels. Right now, the Jets are, it takes three passes to leave their own zone. And the Oilers know that, so they can pressure, you know, the forwards who are receiving the pass on the boards, or they can pressure the forwards who are receiving the touch passes that tries to depart the Jets zone. And the Jets don't have any options for that. They don't have any alternatives. Derek Forbert, who's been a revelation this year, who's been great for the Jets and he's been well worth the money, is not going to skate the puck out of his own zone. It takes the Jets a five-man effort to get the puck out of their zone, given the current defensive lineup. But the opposition knows that, and they can defend against that. They can prevent that five-man unit from being successful. And that the Jets have not done anything. And I look, we've talked about this. We talked about this after the trade deadline. I have to believe, and this is my opinion only, stressing that I don't know this from anyone inside, my opinion, Drew Mindell, I have to believe that it absolutely is driving Kevin Cheveldayoff off bananas that Billy Heinola is not in the lineup, or at least not getting a significant opportunities in this Jets lineup.
I think it's driving Dave bananas as well.
I do think that there is a,
you could be right.
Again, this is my opinion, Drew's opinion. I do believe that there is a disconnect between Paul Maurice and Kevin Cheveldayoff regarding the usage of Ville Heinola.
There could be.
I don't know if that's going to resolve itself this season. I mean, you know, to use my favorite word, it's hard to believe that all of a sudden Maurice is going to get the confidence necessary to play Heinola in the last seven games of the regular season.
But he's not going to. I'm telling you right now, you're wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't want you can agree or disagree. I'm telling you right now, it'll be about the ELC. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter. They don't have to win. He'll throw Heinola in so they don't play. What does he have, four games? He's allowed to play four of the last seven games, and his ELC will slide. And I'm telling you right now, that is a big. I'm telling you right now,
I'm shaking my head, not at what you're saying, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I just find that is absolutely, you know, that to me is malpractice. That's malpractice if that's the reason why you're not playing him in the lineup.
I disagree with you. I think, look, I'm just telling you what I think. I think that the reality is that they know that he's playing games with the Moose. He's playing big minutes with the Manitoba Moose. And so he's still getting into game action and those games. And, you know, the truth is the Moose are winning. So you actually have your prospects developing in a winning culture, which is probably better than right now what the Jets are doing. So that's probably a good thing. And he's playing a lot. It's a lot, like, again, there's a lot less pressure playing with the Manitoba Moose than there is with the Minnesota. No, just let me finish. The point is you've got a guy like, you've got guys who make mistakes on the next shift. Yesterday in the game, the Moose had a power play. Dylan Zabrug made a pinch on the boards. Left Johnny Kovacevic defending on his own, 2-on-1, ends up in the back of the Moose net. What happens the next shift? Dylan Sandberg's out the next shift. You know why? Because Pascal Vincent is uses as a teaching moment, doesn't prevent these guys. I'm just saying that it's not a bad thing for Ville Heinola to get game action with the Manitoba Moose, learning under Pascal Vincent. And again, like I said, you can agree or disagree, but the point is that Kevin Cheveldayoff, first of all, I think that rationale gave him a little bit of cover in terms of not being able to achieve a trade. So he mentioned Heinola as an opportunity. But again, if you think these two guys aren't on the same page, I disagree with you. I think that they completely are, and I think that there's going to be an opportunity to watch. I think it could be wrong. I guess we'll see at the end of the regular season if Ville Heinola plays the requisite number of games to keep his ELC to allow it to slide. And if he does, and he still gets into some games, then I guess we'll see.
I look at this team, and before this homestand, I don't know, like, when else are they going to have the opportunity to get to the conference final was there. And if Heinola was going to help you, and I think even now after this homestand more than before, he can help you. And if your reason for not playing him is because of an ELC, that to me is malpractice. I'm sorry. And I totally respect your opinion, Dave. And it's more than likely that I'm wrong and you're right. But to me, that just drives me absolutely bananas. How do you walk into the dressing room? How do you walk into the dressing room on a nightly basis and face your players when you have somebody who could help your team win sitting you know, either in the taxi squad where he was for so many different games.
You know, Drew, or... let's just quiet you down. Let's get our boy Ty in La Brokerie. He knows what he's talking about. I agree with Ty. Agrees with me.
Ty is the judge and the jury.
Yeah, so I agree with him. So that's all that really matters. Your opinion.
I'm gonna. You know what? I'm gonna play both sides of the fence here because wow. I'm at the bottom here. You know, I think, you know, there's a really good chance Dave's right, but I'm going to side with Drew here because Villehanel, and again, I realize there, you know, some people are, you know, talking about, you know, whether Hanola should come into the lineup, you know, now, or, you know, how many games he should get and everything like that. If you think Villehanel is going to be a big part of your defense for a long time, right? Like, let's say 7 to 10 years, maybe longer. Why do you care about burning an entry-level deal? Like, I understand, Dave. I understand, like, the general manager of an NHL team thinks a lot differently than the three of us or, you know, an average Jets fan. But if he gives you a better chance to win, especially come playoff time, then put him in the lineup. Like, you know, why have you played him in any games if that's the case, right? Like, obviously, you know, to give him some NHL experience, but I'm going to have to side with Drew on this one. Like, I think they should be using him. And even if it burns a year of your entry-level contract and that, you know, factors in, like, he's a guy that, you know, you would think is going to get a Josh Morrissey type of contract, right, Dave? Like, after his entry-level deal's over. Mm-hmm. So... I understand it from the business side, but like, so you're not going to play him when you really need him? Like, that just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Well, I mean, again, I think it becomes a function of whether you need him to get into the playoffs or if your team is comfortably in, you can afford not to have him in and he's still playing games. And,
but you need, you need him to, for the Jets to be a better team, Dave, right? Yeah, like heading into the playoffs, like that's my whole point. And like, so I guess this is a particular case where the business side of hockey is interfering with, you know, the Jets on a game by game basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, Paul Maurice is most interested in putting the best lineup out. So, I mean, he may not believe that Villehanel is the guy in his best interest to play. I mean, you know, again, we don't know what's in his mind. So at the end of, you know, we can try and, We can speculate, we can, you know, there's conjecture, but we don't actually know what it is that Paul Maurice is thinking. But again, like I said, we're looking at what Villehanel can do. We're looking at what this Jets defense is doing right now. And you're right, there's a lot to be desired, I think, personally. So I'm just saying, like, I just think it factors in. I think you have to go look at the way this...
Well, it absolutely does, Dave. I agree with you 100% that it factors in.
Well, I mean, and again, it's funny because like a lot of people are saying, well, who cares? You know what the truth is, again, like I said, look at the way Kevin Cheveldayoff and Larry Simmons have managed the, you know, LTIR, the way they've worked contracts. They play these guys have to play the long game. They're not playing a short game. So I know
long game is you still gotta win. You can't punt on a season when you were in second place. And you were a couple points out of first because of some player's entry level contract who's better than the guys
I agree with Drew. It pains me to say, Dave. Yeah. And I don't think this is us versus you here, because we agree with you that the entry level contract is factoring in here. Mm-hmm. But I agree with Drew. Like, you have an opportunity to put, and again, I know some people think that maybe Villehanel is being hyped up. All I know is that watching him in the World Junior Tournament, Dave, you can speak more to this. I think that this guy is going to be a top pairing defenseman for the next 10 to 15 years. Like, that's how skilled that's again my own opinion, but I think a lot of scouts and a lot of people in the Jets organization think that as well. So what are we waiting for here? Let's get him in the lineup and help the Jets win some games.
That's just it. He's better than some of the guys you're putting out there who are struggling, and everybody can see it. I just don't understand I understand what you're saying, Dave. I think the Jets can't afford to punt on where they had been, you know, prior to this homestand. They had been a very good team who had as good of a chance as finishing, you know, first or second in the North Division and making a run. I'm sorry. I can't accept that the entry level is a good enough reason to not play him. Let's hold some thoughts. Let's play some ads. We'll come back more on the post game. Maybe we'll run Paul Maurice's post game availability as well. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve post game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Do you think there's a disclaimer that I could have on the bottom of my thing that says I am not at home, so I'm not wearing a mask to make a point?
Yeah.
Like the amount of people who have visual comprehension issues and can't understand that I'm not actually in my house. Okay, just for clarity, boys and girls, that is not my house. I don't live in an arena. I don't have big TVs like that in my, well, I do, but not like that big in my home. So let's just chill.
I feel like it's time we need to do like an illegal curve cribs and to have just Dave, you know, walk around the arena and show everybody like the different things that he has going on there.
The reason Dave brings that up is there was a unfortunate anti-masker in the chat room. He's been sent to his room for timeout. Hopefully his parents will teach him right from wrong and, you know.
No, just talk about right from wrong. Again, like I said, I wouldn't be wearing a mask if I was in my home, but I'm not in my home. I'm in a public domain, hence the fact
that Dave, we know you wear a bondage mask at home.
Okay, well, that was bizarre, but sure.
Whoa,
it got dark there early tonight, didn't it?
Yeah, a little, this is,
I don't even know what to say there.
Exactly. That was just creepy. Too shocking.
Okay, why don't you just move on there, Drew? Why don't you just tell everybody to hit the like button? That's a little bit more important.
Fair enough. Anyways, we're going to keep going here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuke, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Wednesday evening. Friday night, the Jets into Montreal. What needs to happen? I saw it was a question that was in the chat, and you can keep throwing some questions in there. We'll try and get them up on the screen as we go with the post-game show. What can the Jets do? Here's a question from John. What can the Jets do to work on? What can the Jets work on? How can they increase scoring entering Friday night's game, where we know the offense has certainly dried up for the Winnipeg Jets? What's it going to take to get them back to being the offensive juggernaut that we saw earlier this season, really prior to this homestand?
Yeah, well, let's forget the cliches, right? Like the going hard to the net, getting greasy goals, that type of stuff that doesn't really mean anything. Like, this Jets team has a lot of talented offensive players, even without Ehlers in the lineup. Right, guys? Like Dave mentioned, you know, Kyle Connor's got one goal in his last five games, and he just doesn't look like, you know, the Connor that we've been used to seeing production-wise and the style of his play. But he leads, what does he have, 23 goals? He leads the Jets, 22 goals, whatever it is. Like, he's a top 10 goal scorer in the NHL, and Mark Scheifele's a top offensive player in the NHL. Like, we know that the Jets have a lot of players that can put the puck in the net. Andrew Kopp's having a great offensive season. So, you know, are there things strategically and systems wise that the Jets could maybe execute better? Yes. But I think this Jets team, we know that this is a team that feeds off of speed. They feed off of turnovers that they create on the forecheck. They feed off the power play. I mean, we know the Jets have one of the most dangerous power plays in the league. So that's also something, guys, that I think we haven't talked about a lot, but, you know, not having a lot of power plays, I think, does affect this Jets team negatively. Like, this is a team that for years, going back to, you know, Patrick Laine's first few years in the league, that, you know, they've had a top power play. And when you're not struggling, when you are struggling to score goals at even strength, it's oftentimes your power play that picks you up, right? So I think that's what you would like to see too. You'd like to see, you know, players like Kyle Connor, players like Mark Scheifele, you know, Andrew Kopp, Mason Appleton, like drawing penalties. Like, I don't think that, you know, it's not like the Jets are going to change how they play. Like, that's not what's going to happen here. But, you know, you do have to be aggressive sometimes. And yeah, you go to the net a little bit more, but they were doing that tonight. Like, you know, you saw Mason Appleton, you know, driving to the net. You saw Jansen Harkins driving to the net. Pierre-Luc Dubois, we talked about him, you know, with Vesalainen and Perreault. So I think a lot of what they did tonight is something that you want to carry over. But, you know, it wasn't for lack of chances tonight. They had chances. The effort was there. The goals will come eventually. Hopefully it's on Friday night.
You know, I think it's going to, you know, when the game started and you have Paul Stastny with that golden opportunity and he's not able to get the puck past Mikko Koskinen. And I mean,
that's when Kulikov turned the puck over to Wheeler. You're talking about. In the first period.
The first period, like a minute and a half, 2 minutes into the game. And really, Stastny scores that on that opportunity, you know, more often than not. I think that was sort of emblematic of how the Jets struggles goal scoring right now. It was evident through that play with that lack of with that lack of success. I truly believe, let me put it to you this way, Ezzy, is the rule still apply that you're going to shave when the Jets win a game?
I have to shave because it's Naomi's birthday next week, and I can't go to I made a reservation at a local restaurant this afternoon, and I can't, you know, go into a restaurant looking like this. Like, I can't go into a restaurant looking like the caddy from Happy Gilmore.
That's again a very reasonable policy to have.
I will shave if the Jets win, but I'll probably shave regardless if the Jets win.
I think on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, I think you're going to be clean shaven. That's really what I believe. I think that I thought there was enough good from the Jets tonight. Nothing great, nothing fantastic, just enough good that gives them a format to follow for Friday night's game in Montreal, Dave. That it gives them a recipe for success on Friday night against Montreal. And I'd be surprised if the Jets, you know, usually I'm not one to make the bold proclamations that Mr. Ginsburg makes, but I'd be surprised if on Friday the Jets weren't able to end this losing streak, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's also possible they lose.
Thank you, Dave. That's why you're here for the analysis.
You see, anything is possible.
No, I mean, obviously, I think what it comes down to, though, and it'd be interesting also to see what happens with the lines, right? Because based on how things were looking in practice, we didn't expect Pierre-Luc Dubois to be playing with Matthew Perreault and Christian Vesalainen. And I jokingly said Christian Vesalainen is a little Swedish. That's why when him and David Gustafsson played, he'd call for it in Swedish. But I wonder if he's learning French now to enhance his ability to play with those two guys. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, Drew, I think there's going to be – both teams are in slides. Montreal is 4-6 and 0 in their last 10, and the Jets are also, I think, 4-6 and 0 in their last 10. So you got two teams. And Montreal, guys, remember, I mean, the Jets have a lot to lose. Sorry, have a lot to gain from winning, of course, because they've lost five straight. But you've got Montreal who can feel some breath on their back. Now, Calgary and Vancouver – are both doing things to help themselves by not gaining it, by continuing to lose games. So I don't know that those teams, that Montreal has to be too worried, but it's not as if they've got a wide enough gap like the Jets do that they're home free by any stretch. So Montreal needs to get things turned around a little bit as well. And to your point, with the unfortunate, they got some excitement with Cole Caulfield being able to make his NHL debut. But of course, they lost Jonathan Drouin. So, I mean, there's some things that are problematic in Montreal that they're going to be trying to fix. And so you've got two teams. It should make for a good hockey game, actually, because I think both teams are going to be desperate to kind of right the ship, if you will.
Yeah, I think it will be a good hockey. That's a funny comment from Joe from Winnipeg. How much food will drop out of that beer? I think it's a bit of a scary question to begin to consider.
There's a lot of popcorn and gummy bears in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in there that nobody wants to see. That's for sure. Although actually Ginsburg without the beard. Anyways, that's a separate issue altogether. But I'm curious. Where did you make dinner reservations?
I'll tell you.
The paparazzi might come and want to crash your dinner there, Mr. Ginsburg. That's all I'm saying.
It's a restaurant that I know that you like as well.
Okay, fair enough.
New restaurant. It's an oldie but a goodie.
It's an oldie but a goodie. Okay,
Pizza Hut is actually where we're going.
All you can eat buffet. I hope you know treat your wife nicely on her birthday.
I'll tell you off there. Yeah, okay, it's a good restaurant.
Fair enough. Do we want to run Paul Maurice?
Hey, go ahead.
Was that a yes? I couldn't hear what you said there, Dave.
Yeah, I said go ahead. I thought you were. Oh, hold on one second. It's actually sorry. One second. I gotta make it public.
Yeah, I was wondering why I couldn't see it on our YouTube channel.
Sorry, I meant to. It was okay, private. I don't know why. It is now public. You can use it now.
Okay, I gotta load it. So you guys talk for 2 seconds while
I feel like this is Stern and Gary right now.
Well, here it is. I got it right now.
Okay. Well, more importantly, while people before the Paul Maurice stuff plays, I want to see some likes. Drop some likes, folks.
Yeah. Smash that subscribe button. Hit the like button.
This is like my 17th game in a row. My cod is lonely out here at the Valentia's place. So at least make me happy and smash some likes.
Spread the love the Brooklyn way, right, Dave?
Exactly.
I wanted to know what that means. But anyways, here's Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice.
Well, you got
to
know your biggie.
Still looks like us.
Yeah, it's loading. There it is. There he is. There's Paul.
all your team's quickness seemed to return tonight in the second period. How did that come about?
I think it came off an understanding they were doing the right things. We didn't put ourselves in a position that we were chasing the game or chasing the puck around the ice. We were pretty darn smart with what we did with the puck. And then we got into the rhythm that you start to anticipate the right decision instead of slowing down. So I think we got a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, and you know, maybe a little tight at the start of the game, but we had to establish a certain amount of consistency with what we were doing. I thought we did that tonight.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, how much of, you know, this recent streak here is just not finding that success early on, you know, coming out of the gates, playing strong, you know, somewhere in the first 10 minutes, getting a quality scoring chance and just not putting in, eventually just having to play from behind?
Maybe I felt a little bit that tonight, you know, we had the two really good chances there at the start that you hit a post and couldn't get the other one to go for us. I think we double hit the second one. So there's a little tightness there offensively, and you kind of feel like you're in a better position to score some goals or some tips around the net. There's some good things that aren't going for you a little bit. I don't think there was a tremendous amount of offense in that game from what we'd seen in the last game for both teams maybe, but a little tight offensively, but I'm not, you know, I mean, there was enough there to feel good about some of your chances. We'd like to generate a little bit more, and I think we'll put ourselves in a position to do that.
Next, Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weber.
Well, going into the game, you talked about trying to limit their transition game. How do you feel about how you did in that aspect of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's not relative to the last game because anything would have been better, but much, much better in terms of what we gave up off the rush. And then the chaos sometimes that's caused, even if they don't score, the chaos was not there for them. I felt in our defensive zone, the biggest chance we gave up was off a broken stick. You know, Josh broke his stick and they come down so early in the game. I thought we had to establish it. It took us a while to do both, to be able to limit them a little bit off the rush and then try to generate some things for ourselves.
We'll go next to back to Jeff Hamilton from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, six straight losses against these guys, and you know, obviously they're most likely going to be your first round opponent. What have you seen in these games that gives you the confidence that you can win four against them, or what do you need to do from now till then to get that confidence?
I think you saw it tonight. I think the game that we played tonight, you know, if you can play that game, then from a positive viewpoint, we're not right now, right? Like it's a bit of a grinder for us. Obviously, you get a better feel about your opportunity going into the game. So there, like I said, the chaos is the thing when you have some elite players on the other team that you worry about the most. Putting them in a position where it becomes a skill contest, you know, you're gonna have a hard time beating that team with those two players on their lineup. They're just that good. So you over the next handful of games, we want to play this, take the same template, even if they're low scoring games, not give up anything off the rush, try to limit that as much as we possibly can, regardless of our opponent, then you take that game into the playoffs.
We'll go next to Murat Ateş from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Hi, Paul. I'm trying to think of ways that a team limits a team that good off the rush, and I imagine a lot has to do with how you guys cover off in the neutral zone. I'm wondering, what are the details that go into that? It looked like your shifts were super short, but that can't be all it. I mean, what are the things that go into improving that play?
Yeah, so before you can talk about limiting a team in the neutral zone, so it wasn't really off transition that it was a problem from their blue line to our end. It was from their end to our end, and it started for a lot of what we did with the puck and where we were standing when those turnovers happened. We could never recover from them. So being on the right side of your check when you don't have the puck, and then also being in a strong position, you know, to generate offense and then not give anything up. Because, I mean, every time you shoot a puck, there's a potential change of possession, and you want to shoot pucks, right? So you want possession in the offensive zone, but you eventually want to give it up. I thought early in the game, we missed an opportunity to shoot some pucks. And other than that, positioning in the offensive zone with and without the puck is the critical piece to not being behind it when it starts.
We'll go next to Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, as you know, you often refer to a team feeling it right now you guys aren't feeling it, obviously. How can you help get this team's good feeling back? Is there anything in your playbook for this?
Well, you know what? You've got to it would be no different than dealing with an individual who's not scoring. You know, when you start, are there chances? Are you generating chances? What are the things to do? So a team, it's like tonight, we will look at that video tomorrow. What we wanted to do, we accomplished a great big chunk of that. You know, we did what we set out to do here tonight, and we've got to build on that. So once you've got to, if you can't get the win in the game, you've got to leave the rink feeling like you're moving in the right direction. I think we did that here today.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Paul, moving Stastny up beside Wheeler and Connor and moving to Bois down, what were you hoping to accomplish with that?
Just a different look. Again, I wanted to see Perreault with that, give Pierre-Luc a different match. I mean, they had two very strong centermen there. Wanted to run them with a different match, that's all.
And final question to Jeff Hamilton from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, how much of that decision to move Pierre-Luc between those two guys was to maybe give him some control back on the line rather than maybe having to adjust to two wingers who are used to kind of, you know, running their line?
So I thought that in the four-game set that he just played, the first two were really, really strong, and I would agree with you 100%. I think we started to see his game. And then I didn't think that happened at all in the next one. So I thought in the 6-1 game that he deferred. It happened. It cost us a goal where he was playing his game for his wingers. And what we wanted to get him back to was just you go out and play your game and let these two guys adjust off you and establish it. So now, three out of the four games that he's played, I'm comfortable with. I mean, I was very excited about the first two, starting to see his own personality, his own style of play come out. Little different match out here for him today. So I thought, he was physical. He was on the body, two new line mates, but he was really engaged with both those guys on the bench. So we're just trying to develop his own individual game and get him to play that regardless of who's hanging on his wings.
Thanks very much, Coach.
There he goes, Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice addressing the media tonight following the Jets' 3-1 defeat to the Edmonton Oilers. They end the homestand with a record of 0 wins and 5 losses. The Jets not going to practice tomorrow before they head out on the road. That's just coming out from Jets PR. So there will be no media availability tomorrow. So we really do not, we will not know until Friday's morning skate if there's going to be any lineup changes, or we, won't know at least if there's any going to be any suggestion or inkling of any lineup changes before Friday's contest in Montreal. Final thoughts, Dave Minuk, you can chime in first before we finish off with the bearded one himself, Mr. Ginsberg.
Final thought is if anybody's despondent about what's going on with the Winnipeg Jets, then you can tune into the Manitoba Moose, who are finishing their 17-game homestand tomorrow afternoon. Starts at 4 o'clock at the Iceplex. I will be in attendance for the final home game of the 21 season. I've seen almost all of them. Well, I've watched all of them. I haven't been at all of them, but I've watched all of them. So a lot of the prospects will be continuing to roll. So even though the Jets are going through tough times, the prospects down on the farm, things are going well. They're 6-0-0-1, and they're just rolling along right now. So lots to like. Young defensive core made up of all Jets draft picks, prospects, Declan Chisholm, Johnny Kovacevic, Dylan Sandberg, Ville Heinola, Cole Perfetti on a 7-game point streak right now. He's looked real good. I know there's been some conversation about Cole Perfetti. I got to tell you guys, like, people who quite honestly are probably not watching these games and are talking about what Cole Perfetti is, it's a little bit difficult. I mean, I'm watching him live, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I'm the be-all and end-all in terms of his assessment, but I can tell you right now, people think he's soft. He's not really soft, and he's starting to engage physically, which is an element to his game that you didn't see necessarily early on, and he was using his body well. And again, he's not going to go and knock the crap out of a guy who's 6'3", but he's such a smart cerebral player that he's able to separate the puck physically using his body. So, I mean, again, it's an element he's adding. I'm not saying he's perfect at it, but, one thing Pascal Vincent talks about with Cole Perfetti is you tell him once, he learns it and he does it differently. He'll do it the way you want him to do it in practice, in game. So very smart, very cerebral player. So there's a lot to like from that as well. Moose Jets, not so much. We'll see what happens on Friday, but yeah. And so two things, stick around for the Moose information tomorrow and smash that like button on the way out.
Now, Dave, if for people who want all the latest information on the Manitoba Moose and for all people who want all the latest information about the Winnipeg Jets, what's the website they should go to?
Well, the website called illegalcurve.com.
There you go. We're company men, if nothing else. Mr. Ginsburg, final thought to you when, about tonight's contest or what's in your beard or really anything under the sun.
Yeah, I already told you guys, it's popcorn and gummy bears. But no, I mean, guys, like, unfortunate that the Jets couldn't get one win on this homestand. But, you know, what I'm looking for in that game on Friday against Montreal, we already talked about it, but it's, can they take the effort and, you know, how much better they played in this game against Edmonton and translate that into a win and a goal explosion? Like, the Jets haven't had, you know, a big night offensively since they were last on the road. So that's what I'm looking for, in this game. Can Kyle Connor, can Mark Scheifele, you know, can Andrew Kopp, can Paul Stastny, can they break out and score four or five goals against this Montreal team? Because the Canadians have lost three of their last four games, and they're struggling offensively as well. So I think that game on Friday night is going to be really interesting. And, you know, hopefully they're able to, you know, sweep this road trip and, you know, get the joy back in Joyland.
There you go, channeling a little bit of Claude Noel with your final thought for tonight. We remind everybody, Friday night, we'll be back with the Illegal Curve post-game show. I believe it's a 6 o'clock puck drop, so post-game should start right around maybe 8:30, give or take. So we look forward to joining everybody then. Saturday morning, the Illegal Curve hockey show, 9 a.m. here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We'll talk about the week that was for the Winnipeg Jets. We'll look back at Friday night's game. So it'll be a busy Friday night and, of course, Saturday morning. All the latest Winnipeg Jets, all the latest Manitoba Moose news and audio and video that's available, of course, on illegalcurve.com. Want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. If you want to continue with some post-game coverage, our buddies Kenny and Rennie, they're up now. They've started. Check them out on their YouTube channel. They're talking about the Jets and the Oilers as well. For Dave Minuk from his home office at Bell MTS Place, for Ezra Ginsburg in his basement, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Until Friday night, right around 8:30, give or take a couple minutes, we wish you a good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.